until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And we'll get Greg McHenry in just a second for Roads to Recovery. He's just putting the final finishing touches on his program today. And I don't even remember what the topic is. I'm with Lossick, who's at Elder Abuse. And we had someone talking about that at 9.15 this morning. And I'm not sure what today. I think he was about to tell me, and then I got called away to do something else. So Greg McHenry will come in just a second and tell us about what's coming up on Roads. But Caitlin, you're in the studio joining us once again. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, very good. And tell us about what you're going to be talking about today.
So I'm talking about an iBook today because I was kind of like, you know what, I never talk about them. Mm-hmm. So I went on to the iBook app and I just looked up top, you know, in the charts. Yep. And the one that I picked is the second book that was in the top charts, because the first was Grey by E.L. James, which, if none of you know, is the companion to 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
Except this time it is in the Christian Grey's point of view. So I was kind of like, I'm going to skip that one. And I went to the second one. And it was good, actually. I was really surprised.
With the Christian Grey one, just explain, is that like the same story but through his perspective?
Same story but through his perspective. Mm. So I think it was leaked like a week before it was actually meant to be released.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting, because that's what happened with The Twilight.
Yes. Yep. And now we will get on to the book that you actually did in just a second, but Greg is in the studio from Rhodes, and you can feel free to chime in as well during this part, Caitlin.
Hello, Caitlin. Look, I'm very sorry for that.
You're running around.
I had
around
to run upstairs. You know how it is around here.
Yes. Upstairs. And
down around the thing and up the ramp.
That's right. And you were here at 9 a.m, and I think you were just about to tell me what was coming up on Rhodes today, but then I got called away before you could do that. So what's on Rhodes today?
Today we've got, it's quite interesting because we've got a lot of stuff goes on around the traps at the moment. There's inquiries and commissions onto violence, family violence and all that. So we're going to be talking about the incidences of how alcohol's involved. Is it an excuse for it? You know, we just want to talk the whole aspect of violence and alcohol, drugs.
Yep. So the various links between them, yep.
Yeah, and the you know, there's some incredible statistics we'll come up with about how, well, we all know that it's over 40 women have been killed so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's abominable. But we'll find out a bit more about that in terms of how we...
Is alcohol a really big player in those deaths?
Alcohol, well, that's the thing. Is it how much? And is it an excuse? Bad behaviour, you can't put bad behaviour down to an alcohol and drug problem. It's bad behaviour, whichever way you look at it.
Did you hear our discussion about elder abuse this morning?
Yeah, well, we talked a bit about that last week, because today is a actual day, isn't it?
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday was a day, which is why we talked about it last week.
Yes, you're ahead of the pack.
Elder abuse manifests itself in many ways too, so...
But it was a similar gist where you've got someone that maybe has a gambling problem or something along those lines, and it's about those sorts of issues and, you know, can you excuse it? And I think there's some threads there, perhaps.
There are. Well, the threads go right through, because either way, it's a problem. So we need to work out what the threads are and as to how to reduce the problem.
Yes.
And I think one of the problems with alcohol is the availability, or the big problems with availability, access and affordability.
Mm.
And so FAIR is a group that we're going to be talking with. I've got their chief executive, Michael Thorne, going to be on the phone.
Yep.
And you know I'm not real good with phone interviews. So that'll
you
be interesting.
I've
just
that.
Got to make sure, I've got to make sure I connect. What are you laughing at, Caitlin?
Oh, just you admitting that.
Well, I'm allowed to admit
self-deprecating that. Self-deprecating humour on air here today.
Yeah, I'm allowed to. And but we've also got Pauline Wright, who's the CEO of Minerva Community Services, and Bowen Cars' CEO, Helen Bolton, are going to come in, because they're at the coalface of seeing what the damage is at the end, where we need to counsel or house people or whatever has to happen before legal proceedings and such.
Yes.
So that'll be another open chat. I don't know what we're going to talk about. It'll just happen when
somehow you'll fill the hour, Greg.
I know.
It's always a struggle to fill the hour, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, right.
You're never sort of left, we have to truncate the final track of music because we've had so much to talk about.
That's always what happens, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's
I'm
right.
Sorry.
I think last week we didn't even get a last track of music.
No, we didn't. And now I've got to apologise for anyone out there. When I do truncate the music, if the track is really something you love, ring me up and tell me about it, or send me an email, right, and I'll make sure we play it in full the following week.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, I'll let you get back in there. Edwina's running around getting everything sorted out, so you can go and help her.
Good on you. Thanks very much, Mitch, and good on you, Caitlin.
No worries. Greg McHenry there from Roads to Recovery. And we will now play Caitlin's intro, because what's the point of making up a nice intro if we can't use it? And then I want to hear what actual book you reviewed, and it wasn't the 50 Shades of Grey spin-off, which I'm looking forward to finding out. So let's do that.
Now on Mitchell's Front Page, Caitlin with Arts and Entertainment.
Now, first of all, with this iBook thing, are these books available in print as well, or is it exclusively in iBook form?
I think they're available in print, but I'm not sure. I think it depends on who published them, because sometimes, like I know, for instance, I can't believe I'm talking about 50 Shades of Grey again. But I know
that's
that
been
she,
half of your segments this year, hasn't it?
I know, right? But she, I mean, she's a good example, because she self-published only through eBooks first, and then once she got enough money and things like that, then she went to print. So I think it depends. But I kind of feel like the covers in... I know this is really bad because they say don't judge a book by its cover.
Yes.
But I can't help it. And I do. And they look very... not quality.
So you like the embossing and the gold leaf
the
and all
beautiful,
that?
Yeah, you know, it's not even that. I just think I'm always just going to be into a tangible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know what, I'll give it a go.
Courtney is one that likes to talk about music album covers as well, and yeah, it's that old don't judge a book by its cover, but he's always talking about the music album cover as well, so it happens across the board, doesn't it?
It does. You have to do it. I mean, but you know, there are some people who like wrap them in paper and kind of just, which I think is a cool idea as well. But
so we've now got to the point, what is the actual book?
Okay, so the book that I read was number 2, and it was The Accident by C.L. Taylor. So I was kind of like a bit iffy about it, but it was actually pretty good. So it's a psychological thriller about a woman named Sue, whose daughter is in a coma after stepping in front of a bus. And then after Sue finds a chilling entry in her daughter Charlotte's diary, she is convinced that Charlotte is Charlotte's her daughter, is hiding a deadly secret. And as time unfolds, like, Sue becomes more convinced that her daughter's secret is linked to her tragic past.
Ooh.
I wrote that up. What do you think?
That sounds great. I'm hooked, actually.
Are you? So it was actually pretty good. Like, I mean, the thing is that there were some, I think in particular the ending, which I was a bit like, does that really happen? But you know what? I digress. It's actually her, this author, C.L. Taylor's debut criminal crime novel. So I think for a debut, it was really good.
It's just interesting. It's just interesting because it does seem to be a recurring thing, this idea where you've got, I guess, the main character is incapacitated. They can't speak, they can't communicate. And then suddenly the whole story ends up being about their backstory. And I guess the people picking up the pieces after something like this has happened.
Well, it's interesting because I think, I mean, I don't think Charlotte is the main character. I just think that she is a red herring so that the main character, Sue, can actually just work through her past and her scars and things like that. So I think it was just kind of like a catalyst, I suppose, for her to go into her, you know, and sort out her issues.
That's very interesting. And the genre is crime, is it?
Crime, like psychological thriller, you know. I'm not usually into those, but I love a good one, that's why, because I'm picky. And I need one that's going to grip me and, like, kind of keep me guessing and make me want to look at the back.
And if it's on the charts, is it, like, music charts where that's been released this year?
Yeah, it looks like that. So it basically is just, like, what's the favourite or... Because this is... I went into the paid, you know, what's the most popular paid book, iBook, and that was the second one. So it was only $3, too.
Okay, that's interesting.
Bargain.
Yeah. And what do you think about reading books on a smartphone device or on a screen as opposed to in print form?
I think it's fine as long as you have a good balance. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't really care where you're reading as long as you're reading.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's so important to read.
Yeah.
So if it's easier for you to read it on a screen, that's fine by me. But, you know, I don't mind it. Sometimes I like to do it, but I can't take away from the experience of holding a book, something tangible for me.
Now, reading is very, very important. I agree. So if it makes it more accessible.
Right, you know, and it's all about that. But I just hope that, you know, we don't get rid of
Print.
Mm. Because obviously it's a beautiful thing, and I think it's been around for thousands of years. Like, I would hope that it's not.
It's just interesting what you're saying there, because one of our previous interviews this morning was talking about the Magna Carta and how we love those sort of symbolic documents, even though it may not have meant much in practicality. But it's the 800th anniversary, and we just love that document, and you know, we don't even have the original anymore.
No, it's just something that I think is a... You know what it is? I think is that people love tradition, and they love to revere tradition. And I think there's something very traditional and beautiful about the written word on paper.
Now, in this particular text, what were some of the themes that you think were touched on, other than that sort of psychological thriller?
Definitely
crime?
Like abuse and like things like that, and you know, kind of. I definitely feel like it's psychological in the sense that it was kind of working on her demons and and things like that, and how that can transgress through lineage. So she thinks that her daughter stepped in front of this bus on purpose because of her past, even though her daughter, like, you know what I mean? Like, she's kind of imprinting her past onto her child.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that psychological thing that I think most people would go through, I suppose.
Yeah. Is it a long text?
No.
No.
Which I think it's like 400 pages or something.
Okay. You could polish that off in a weekend?
Yeah. Like 2 hours if you sat down and read it. And you're like a decent reader.
Are you a speed reader?
I'm a speedier reader.
Yeah.
If I get really excited about a book, I have a tendency to speed read because I just want to know what's going on, and then I have to go back.
Yeah,
and then I have to go back and reread it. Like with Harry Potter, the final book, I read each page twice, like as I went, like just once. So basically, I read it twice in like one go, because I would just read the page and then I would go, okay, Caitlin, go back and read the page again.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did it like that.
The pretty important parts of the plot in that book.
Well, you just miss out on the description and things like descriptive things, and yeah, because you're just so excited about wanting to
find out,
know what's happening, and yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And score out of 5 stars?
3.5.
3.5. So some room for improvement.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, that's interesting because that sort of is my genre when I do read. So,
oh well, you
but I'm not
go
making
and read
any commitments
it.
Because I'm just I'm
well,
busy.
Well, it's on your phone. It's accessible, and
it
you've
is.
Got an iPhone there. I see.
I do. Yeah. No, it's good because I've done a bit with PDFs and that sort of thing, and it's quite easy to read because you can take it anywhere and it remembers what page you're up to.
Right, and it's good like that. And you know, with iPhones or Apple or whatever, it kind of can, you can just pick it up on any of your screens and it's there. But yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
I just kind of thought, let's talk about it because I wonder if a lot of people out there who listen to this, if they are listening to the
there are
segment,
people listening. Don't worry about that.
Prefer print or prefer ebooks?
Yeah. Well, it's part of a revolution at the moment.
You know, everyone loves their Kindle.
Yeah, that's what people are talking about. The difference with the Kindle as opposed to the iPhone is the iPhone has a backlit screen, whereas the Kindle, I think you actually have to have a light source onto it.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's like one of those screens, but you can't see it in the dark.
Oh.
The good thing about that is that it doesn't use battery unless you turn a page, whereas the backlight stays on and drains the battery while you're reading it.
Okay.
Whereas the Kindle, it'll stay exactly like that page until you change the page. So the battery only goes flat when you're changing pages. So there's pros and cons of each.
Pros and cons, yeah. But, like, what is it really that hard to charge it? No. Just take your charger with you.
Yeah, but people forget chargers, or you don't have a power source. Or, you know, these first world problems.
Power source.
Yeah.
I mean, they have them on trains.
Some trains. V-Line?
V-Line, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You just plug it in.
In the new one or the old one? The old trains?
I don't know about the very old trains, which I think they need to upgrade.
Go by the wayside. Yep.
Yeah. But the new trains, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's interesting. And also, actually, one thing they do have is those portable battery packs. They're quite good.
Oh, I don't have any of those.
Yes. Well, there you go. Now, next week, any sort of preview about what you might be covering?
I want to go back to a print book.
Okay.
That's about it. Because I feel like it's been so long since I really brought in.
And some of our listeners who like traditional things, like perhaps Bernard from the Blurb Show, might appreciate you going back to
a printed
text.
I don't think Bernard is a big fan of me, my idea of literature.
He says you're very good, but I think he might prefer if you stick to the printed text, if he's listening. Thanks so much for coming joining. I really appreciate it, and we'll catch up next week.
Thank you.
Caitlin there. Really good segment as always. Interesting, and I may even try and get that book, but I'm not making any promises because I'm very busy.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.